First off, thank you everybody for being here this morning. I know it's not easy getting up in the morning on the third day of Tech Ed when you get to geek out with your friends and colleagues. So I'm very privileged to be here this morning and talking about this very important topic. And I guess it's really important here also at Tech Ed, where we have people from all around the world. And the topic being phone number management in Link Server 2013. And the reason for this being important is that we see more and more customers are moving from locally managed PBX to a more global Link deployment. And we see this more and more now and moving forward than ever before. And Link as a phone solution is taking over as your primary phone solution. At the same time, we have this more global management rather than the locally managed PBX. So we have administrators getting more control over management for users that's in different locations. And they need to know what numbers to assign, what kind of numbers, and also what numbers users don't want to have. And this stuff, the local PBX administrators, they knew this. But the user administrators typically don't know this and need to learn it. And then we have this dynamic user population, where we see 20% to 30% of the user population either move in the building or to different offices. They change positions, and they may even leave the company. And some of them even come back. So how do we manage phone numbers for these kinds of users? Because we can't do it the same way as we did back in the old days, where, I was Googling around and found this picture. So that was phone number management back in the old days, where you assign the number to a switch port, and the user plugged in their phone, and they had the number. If they moved office or floor, they either got a new number, or they had to bring their phone with them and get the new number at the new office. And if you look over there, we see that the old number is scratched over. It's like, we know what the extension is, and we know the old extension. So that was phone number management back in the old days. But the challenge now is Link is a soft phone solution, primarily. And everything goes over Ethernet, and the number follows the user. Either the user is at home, at the office, at the customer site, or even abroad. And so we need to think about phone number management a bit different. We can't lock a number series to a floor anymore because users are moving around. So that's why this is an important topic. And within Link, there is no easy way to find available numbers and know what number to assign to a user. So I asked on LinkedIn, part of the UC Architects podcast LinkedIn group, and my question was, how do you or your customers manage phone numbers in your Link deployments? And the answer was, I got some answers, and I guess the UC Architects LinkedIn members are a bit techie. They answered 50% almost using PowerShell scripts. How many use PowerShell scripts to assign numbers to users here today? A couple. That's awesome. But what we see around when moving between customers and we do deployments, we see a lot of them are using Excel spreadsheets. And Excel spreadsheets are awesome. I use them a lot when doing the initial move over from the PBX to the link solution. You get to create this CSV file. It's awesome. But the problem with Excel spreadsheets is they don't scale very well. As the deployment matures, users start getting more mature, moving around. And the issue with Excel spreadsheets is, do you know you have the last version? Who is administering the Excel spreadsheets? Is there more people involved? Where do you store it? Do you know if you have the integrity of the Excel spreadsheets? And how do you find the next available number and the next available extension through the Excel spreadsheets? So in the year 1 or 2 or 3, well, maybe the guy creating the Excel spreadsheet has quit or moved on to another position, and you have other people taking over that responsibility, and maybe not as passionate about it as the first guy. So in my experience, using Excel spreadsheet also is a quite a time-consuming job where you get to assign the number to either a call center user or response group user or a regular user, and you get orders from all around the country or the world if it's a global deployment. And you need to find, is this number available? Is it the correct number? And how do you want to display it when dialing out? So it's quite a lot of work, and maybe there are a lot of different people involved in the process of getting a new number. And we also see that some use external databases, like Forefront Identity Management or other kind of databases. And I personally believe that the best way to find and administer numbers is within Link. So because Link knows about Link and Link users and Link entities and what numbers are in use. And so my goal here today is to help you pick a tool to move away from Excel. Sounds great? Yay! So I see you guys are very passionate about phone number management, as I am. So I need to document this because people don't believe me. So if everybody could put their hands in the air. So this is neat. And say, phone number management! Awesome. Thanks, guys. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to spend the next hour talking about the different tools at your disposal. And I'm also going to talk about how numbers are stored in Active Directory and how it's being used. So we have the Link Server Control Panel. It's the graphical interface we have at our disposal to do this. It's okay to use that for 1 or 2 users. But for 3 or more users, it gets time-consuming. Right? And then I'm going to talk about the Link module for PowerShell. And I'm going to spend most of the time talking about how you can automate this using PowerShell. And I also want to touch into some third-party tools that is available to help you manage phone numbers. First, my name is Ståle Hansen. I work for Knowledge Factory as a chief technical architect in Norway, in Oslo. Here's a picture of our office, like the black building in the back there. And I've been doing enterprise voice projects since Office Communication Server R2. So in Norway, we actually have moved a lot of companies over to purely managed Link and OCS administered phone solutions. If you want to tweet or comment or have questions, please, if you have a short question, just ask them when it's appropriate. But if you have specific questions for your deployments, I'll set aside about 5 minutes after this talk so you can ask questions. And if you find a question after the talk, you can reach out to me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Stale Hansen. And I will also like to mention the UC Architects podcast. Anyone here heard about them? Yay! Thank you, sir. So that's awesome. So the UC Architects podcast is a bi-weekly podcast. We are about 15 Link MVPs and MCMs and Exchange guys talking about what's new and what's working, what's not working, and discussing Link over a virtual pint. So check it out. So my first recommendation here today is when you are working with phone numbers in Link, implement the E164 standards all over, also in Active Directory, also for users, for the numbers that is available for users. So this is the same slide that Ken Lasker had at his Enterprise Voice Best Practices. And I'm going to echo his recommendation that you should work with this format. And the E164 format is an internationally recognized telephone number format where you have the country code behind the plus sign, and you have the area code, and you have the local number. And this is, it works every time when you use this format. If you are locally or if you are abroad, and the thing is about these numbers, if you use them in Active Directory as well, they will sync over to your phone using ActiveSync for Exchange. And when you're searching for users and try to call them, it will work every time because it is a format you use when dialing users, even when you are not in your local country. And the numbers are stored in Active Directory. And there are some attributes we need to think about. It's the phone number attribute and the mobile number attribute. And these attributes doesn't have much with Link to do, but it's really applicable for users. Because if you hover over a user and want to dial them, you see that both the mobile number and your phone number will come over in the Link client. And even if you search for a user that is not enabled for Link, you will find that he is searchable and his number is available if his phone number attribute is populated in the Active Directory. So this means that for Link users, these are really accessible attributes. And this may make or break a Link solution because we want to call users but we don't want to call numbers. People don't remember numbers anymore, and in Active Directory, you should display the whole number, not just the extension, when going over to Link. And the thing is that Link and every other voice over IP solution is talking about phone numbers in this format. So any other format is not applicable to Link, so we need to normalize the numbers so they get in this format. And so you may have spaces in there, you may have other some dash in the number, but Link needs to understand that and normalize the number in this format. So it may complicate the Link solution. Maybe the number looks better, but it works better if it's in the E164 format. And then we have extensions. When working with SIP solutions like Link, you need to implement line URIs. And the line URI format is defined in RFC 3966. You don't have to remember this, it's not an exam question, but the RFC defines the format for a telephone number in SIP. So it's with the tel colon, and you have the E164 formatted number. And then you have the semicolon and extension. An extension being the short number you can dial a user when doing when you want to reach a user. But my recommendation in Lync is that you don't use extensions to dial users. Use extensions to authenticate. Authenticate on the phones you want users to access, and also to avoid support calls for users when they go into the dial-in PIN page. So if you don't have an extension defined, you will actually get a red error message in that page, and users goes, hey, something's wrong here. I need to call support. But nothing is wrong. It's just that they don't have an extension defined. So for Lync, extensions are not for dialing. They are more for authenticating. Because if you log on to a Lync phone edition, you can type just your extension, which could be the 4 or 5 last digits in your number. And they can type the extension and their PIN code, and they are logged into the phone. But do not encourage users to use the extension to reach each other. Because in Lync, it's all about reaching the person, right? So you search for a person and call them where they are available, either on Lync or their mobile phone or their Lync number. Do you agree?
Yep.
Got some nods. That's awesome. And one more thing is that the line URI you define, the tell colon line URI, is also stored in Active Directory. So it's not just stored in the central management database for Lync, but when you enable a user with a line URI, it is also stored in Active Directory. Back in the days, it took some time to replicate as well. It could take up to 30 minutes or 45 minutes before the number got available in Lync. And the reason for that is for Active Directory replication. But I understand now in the 2012 timeframe, the replication is quite fast. But if you look to when the number is stored in Active Directory and not, and this is important for administrators wanting to know when is the number available and when it's not. So if we run the PowerShell commandlet, get CS user, we see that we find the name of the user, we find the line URI that is defined, and it's in the RFC formatted standard. One cool commandlet here, and this is a super trick, it's the get AD user. And if you do properties star, you actually get all the attributes defined on a user, not just displayed when running this commandlet natively, but you get all attributes. So if you run get AD user, we see that we also can find the MSRTC zipline attribute and all other cool attributes as well. And you see that the line URI is also defined in Active Directory. So when is the number removed? Is it when we run the get set CS user to the user not being enabled for Lync? So the user is now not enabled for Lync. But we see that the number is still there in Active Directory. What if we disable the AD account? Will the number be removed from Active Directory? Yes? No? Okay, let's see. So we disable the AD account because the user have quit or are on leave. But we see that the number is still there. And I see this is a common mistake where user administrators, they use their regular routines in order to administer the users, and they disable the AD account, but they forget about the Lync account. And worst case, users can actually still log in after the AD account is disabled because of certificate-based authentication. But that's another story. What about when we disable the Lync user? What do you think? And it's gone. So only by disabling the user for Lync, the number disappears from Active Directory and it's available to be assigned to another user. You could, of course, go in and delete the number on the user, then the number will be gone. But this is good to know in terms of what you want to do with users leaving your company. So I want to show you the tools available here. And first off, we start simple with the Link Server Control Panel. We find the user, enable the user for Enterprise Voice, and we add the line URI to the user with the correct format. Yes, a question? So the question was, if we disable, run the disable CS user commandlet, it does not disable the AD account or delete the AD account. It's just the attributes. So you won't affect the AD user, just remove it as a link user. Yeah, so if you delete AD account, the number will be released. Yeah. But we see a lot of administrators like disabling for 3 months or something. And then in that time frame, the number will not be available if they're not handled the same way. So this was the GUI way of doing things. And let's do it in PowerShell. Yes, a question? The semicolon part, smartphones, they don't see that format. So when dialing, you only get over the formatted number you decide to have in Active Directory. So the line URI is not visible to users unless they look at their configuration settings.
What about the non-line URI, just
the telephone itself? Yeah. If you define the numbers in the Active Directory attributes, the phone number, mobile phone, that's visible to all users within Link and also other Office products like Exchange and Outlook. There, the semicolon and the tel colon won't show up for users. So, no, they won't be able to dial it, but they won't see it either. I didn't catch your question. Yeah. 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 So the question is, is there a correlation between the phone number attribute and the line URI attribute? And there is none. So the line URI gets populated from Link. But the phone number attribute is a regular AD attribute. But you could use your line URI in PowerShell to automate this, and I'm going to show this later today, where you actually populate that AD attribute as well. But it's not the same number. You can have it blank or not or a different number if you would want to. Yeah, it is. The plus country code, not the tel colon, but the plus and country code formatted number, the E164. Yes? Yeah, thank you for the comment. And I guess it's quite not that room in the room, so I will try to repeat the question. Of course. So you can also assign the number with PowerShell, and use the set CS user commandlet, and if you know the number and the correct syntax, the number will get populated. And you can see that it's easier to do it in PowerShell if you know the syntax. It's a bit faster than doing the clicking in the link control panel. But sometimes You want to display a different number when dialing out than what is your line URI. So there's two ways to do this. One way is to use the same base number as you want to display when dialing out. So here we have user A, B, and C. They have the same number defined, but they have different extensions. When these users dial out, they will display this +142 number, and not without the extension. So when users dial back to the number, and this is typically for call center users or users you don't have link numbers for. So the base numbers could point to Exchange, Auto Attendant, or your switchboard, or your call center, or response group. And then you add the same number, but a different extension. In this example, it's 1. So when you get the phone number over the SIP trunk through the gateway, we add an inbound normalization. So we normalize the inbound number and add the extension to the call center or switchboard or whatever. So we add the extension 1, and they will reach the queue you want them to reach. But the users will show the number you decide when dialing out. There's a caveat with this approach. And first off, you could get a malicious call on your SIP trunk, and you wouldn't get through. And the reason for that is sometimes Link will look up this number and find multiple hits. Because you have assigned it to 4 users and entities, so you need to be able to actually send the number without the plus sign over the SIP trunk, and you need to normalize it when it gets in. So then you need to have control over the incoming number, either from the operator or through your gateway. But it is another approach to use a dummy number doing this. So you give the user just whatever number as the base number. In this case, it's 15,000. And again, different extensions. But this time, you give the real number as a regular line URI to the switchboard or response group or whatever. So we create an outbound normalization rule instead of inbound. So we normalize the base number, removing the extension, and adding the number we want to display. And then we don't need to do anything else like inbound normalizations. We don't have this problem with the number maybe being a malicious call. So to do this, we use calling number translation rules, which was a new feature in Link Server 2013. And we can add this rule using PowerShell, of course, and we add the syntax, the regex codes, the /s string here removes everything behind what's behind the number, the base number. And we want to translate this to the number we want to display. So running this command creates the rule, and you need then to assign the same base number to those users that needs to display this number. And we can have a test. So here is the user with the +1500 and the extension of that you see here. So we can test the numbers to see that it's normalized the way we want it to be. So you see here the translated number as it will go over the SIP trunk is this number, which we have assigned to the switchboard or response group. One thing about using extensions in a link deployment is that we see if you do direct SIP trunking, sometimes they don't like the extension part of the number. So you can use calling number translation rules to remove extensions when dialing out for regular numbers. So you should create a rule that have the lowest priority and with the pattern of any digits and remove whatever extension that's in there. So this will take any number, remove the extension, and just put out the base number. So you can give this a priority of 99 or whatever. And this will make sure that there's no extensions are sent over. Because we have seen on some SIP trunk providers don't like this, and you can get crazy errors, not easy to troubleshoot. So again, we can test this to see that the number is correct when going on the SIP trunk. So just assigning numbers in link is one thing, but knowing what's displayed over the SIP trunk is another thing, where you can, in link 2013, manipulate and display what you want to display. Yeah. So the question was if it was easier to use this on the gateway or SPC. You could, of course, do that, but that's another management. And the thing is, keep it simple within the same management frame. So it's more, it may be easier to handle. And the other thing here is the example was about direct SIP trunking without gateway. You may want to do that for some operators that offer a SIP trunk or MPLS and stuff like that. So just a suggestion. So you can, of course, do this other places as well. So the next thing here is link knows what numbers are deployed. So we can use PowerShell in order to find what's in there. And we also can use PowerShell to automate how to find this information. So the link module for Link Server 2013 is really good. You should install it, of course, on your management machines so you can use the commandlets from your computers. So there's a couple of one-liners I want to show you to find useful information within Link. And the first one is about finding all the users with a line URI. So this is the getCSUser, where we search for the any user that have a line URI. We do sort objects, where we sort the information based on the line URI, and we put out the information using format table. And the thing here you should try to do as much as possible is use the filter property instead of where object. Because the filter property will get the information before you pipe it to a new object. So in this case, we get all the users that don't have a line URI, and we don't care about the users not having a line URI. So the object will be more applicable. So if you have 30,000 users and only 5,000 have a line URI, then you're just handling 5,000 users. So this is a good way to find all the numbers. You can also find all the numbers for our country using like and using tel colon plus 47, which is the Norwegian country code, or plus one for US, if you want to find users specific with that region code. And the thing about like comparison is that it takes everything that starts with tel colon and what you have and finds the correct number. But remember, a user can have two numbers in Link. You have the line URI, and you have the private line. So a user can have a private line as well, and that's another attribute. Here I see I have one. Oh, this is the count part. So you can count this as well, putting parentheses around and dot count. Here I see I have 107 users. And the line URI, and with private line, you can get, and here you have one user with a private line. One great commandlet here, and one-liner, is to find users that's disabled in Active Directory, but they still have a line URI. So you use the getCSAD user to find this, and you will see the line URI defined. And you can even measure this with the measure object to see how many users are disabled in Active Directory but also have still a line URI. So there's some useful information in there. But the problems with one-liners is they don't get the whole information, because Link stores numbers for lots of different entities. Like users can have two numbers for line URI and private line. You have analog phones, common area phones, exchange unified messaging contacts, dialing conferencing access numbers. Trusted applications can have a phone number, response group workflows. And also remember that meeting rooms for Link Room System also can have a line URI. So this doesn't scale well for one-liners in terms of getting all the numbers. So we have some people creating scripts for that. Here's a script you can download to find the numbers already assigned. And all the scripts I'm talking about here is available on linknumbers.net. So it's a blog we created to host these scripts for number management in Link. So here's a script to find the numbers available, which is called Get Assigned Line URI. It's developed by a good friend of mine, Lasse Norvik Vedø. And he gets all the numbers and show you them in a good way. So first of all, we have the summary within the shell, where he displays all the numbers assigned, how many users you have assigned with the different formats. So we have 107 users here and one private line. You can and the next step here is really a good tool where you can dump all users with a phone number in a HTML file for offline use, and you can send it to who is interested. So it stores the HTML file, and you get to see all the numbers there. You can search on it and find what user have a number and what number they have. Also for other entities within Link. The third option is for grid view. And grid view is also great for you to get the information and sort the information. So in grid view, here I can find any user having a private line. And it's one user, of course. And you can use grid view to sort for whatever information you are interested in. But the thing is, you have all the different kinds of entities that have a link number in this view. It's easy searchable, so totally recommend using this tool in order to get control over your link numbers. He has a script as well to search for line URI. If you just want to search all the link places in Link where you have the ability to see the number, you have the search line URI script. Here I search for 201 and see what users have the 201 attributes defined or the number, and we'll list them out. So sometimes, you know, this number should be available, but it's not. Who has this number defined? So here you can find that information. Again, List as Grid View is a good tool if you want to find all the users containing 20 or whatever you want to display, even in the extension or the number. You can see it here. Cool? Yay. Yep. That's awesome. So, I created a script called find unassigned numbers, get unassigned numbers. So the thing is that, as we see, we know what numbers are defined. So only if we had known what number series we have, we could also find the numbers not in use in the link solution. So I created a script called get unassigned numbers, and it's built out of functions. So you can take this script and adapt it to your own routines for administering your link users And you can use these functions and incorporate them within your own automation scripts. So here's an example of how you can use it. So I get a number. I get the first available number within my number series. And I push it into another function to getting the extension. And then I just add to get the correct syntax with the tell URI. So first off, if you just run the get unused function, it will go through all your number series. And this is based on that you have populated unassigned numbers in link, which you find under voice features in the link control panel. And here you have a number series called Norway. We have 194 numbers out of 301 available numbers. And if you press list, it will list all numbers that are available within that number series. In order, if you want to have a pool of available numbers you want to use in your CSV file, if that's what you want to do. I understand that using the unassigned numbers is not applicable for everyone, because when using unassigned numbers in Link, Link will answer all calls dialed to a number within that series. And you can forward it to switchboard or call center, or just tell them that this number is not in use. When you pick a number from that number series, it will dial the user. So unassigned numbers is the last thing to get hit when dialing into a Link solution. So I find it to be a good thing. In Norway, it's important that all calls get answered within the numbers we own. So that's why I use the unassigned numbers. There are some other ways to do it as well. I will mention after this demo. So if you run this part, if we specify the number series we want to use, we see that we can pick a number from Norway and get the first available number. We can use that number to find the correct extension. And here it says that you found a duplicate extension. Someone else has the same extension. That is actually okay within Link, as long as the PIN code for that user is different. But you may want to take some action on this and see why it's the same extension. And you may also have overlapping number series that ends on the same numbers. So that may be why. So we have now found the extension. And we do some PowerShell manipulation and find the correct line URI, which we can assign to a user. Cool? Yeah. So you don't have to use CSV files or type your numbers manually, because Link knows, and you can just use this routine to get give the numbers the correct number without being afraid of double assigning number. So the function is about the script is about three functions, where we have the get unused function, and if you don't have any unassigned numbers available, it will tell you and link to TechNet on how to deploy it. I also have a function to get all numbers in deployment, which you can use yourself for your own script, so you don't have to pick apart the script in order to just find all the numbers in the deployment. And it just gets all the numbers, and then we have the extension function. So a practical example of using this. I have created a scenario where we have Norway and Sweden, and they have different organizational units for those, and it could be anything like different areas or countries. So, and the thing here is that we assume that all users within those organizational units should have a phone number. In Link, there should be an enable link. So when you enable the AD account and place them in the correct organizational unit, we can take that and enable them for link and give them a phone number. So in the locations, we store the organizational units. And here we see Norway and Sweden. And we get all the users that is not enabled for link. So get CSAD user. And also display out that we found 10 users. We're going to process them now. And do a for each. And we look at the distinguished name for a user, which contains their organizational unit path. And if it matches Norway, we will use the Norway unassigned number. And we also do the get extension like we did in the previous example. And we do enable CS user and also set CS user, where we need to use the pass through for enable CS user in order to set the line URI. Because enable CS user doesn't pass objects. So, and then we display from AD the name, telephone number, and the SIP, MSRTC SIP line. And we do the same for Sweden. So, finding the correct number, and then we just list all the users we have enabled, which could be out to a file and whatnot. So, running the script, we see we found 10 users. And the script would just loop through these users. And you see numbers are getting assigned. And here we move over to Swedish users. Different number series. And you see numbers are getting picked. Listing out, we see the telephone number attribute has been configured with the correctly formatted E164 number, which is available for users. And we see the MSRTC SIP line is populated with the correct line URI. So this is a script that could run every hour, once a day, and will automate the enablement of link users and give them the correct numbers. So this is just an example. And before we move over to third-party tools, I want to show you that you also can use your custom number range within this script. So I added some new parameters to the script, which is now available to TechNet Gallery, where we have range start and add your range start for a get unused function, range end, of course. And you could give it a name of your choosing, like custom range Norway, if you will have different ranges, which you could define within PowerShell. And this will give the output, the same output we had, but now you don't have to use the unassigned line URIs. And you also can get a list of, you have numbers within your link deployment, and you just want to list all numbers, you can use the list all parameter, where you can get all the numbers with, as you saw earlier. So you have your own number series. You don't have to define it within link. Just use it as an input to the script, and you can find all available numbers within your deployment. Cool? Yes. So this is a really useful tool, and it will give you control over your link deployment, and you spend less time on finding the correct number and wondering if it's available, and if you can't assign it, who has the number. And so there's a lot of tools for that. And PowerShell is the way to do it. Am I right? Yeah. But you may have large, complex deployments with lots of different number series. You may have global deployments, where you have number series in lots of different countries, where it may be quite difficult to create these complex PowerShell scripts in order to handle this. So there's a couple of third-party tools I want to mention. Event Zero, I created a tool called Range Manager. The tool detects all allocated numbers, and will also automatically identify ranges you have within your deployment. The thing that Event Zero also does, they will also monitor your deployment and tell you what numbers are not used that you have assigned to users, but there's no activity on that number. Maybe you can relocate that number, give it to another user instead, because apparently no one is calling them. So that's useful information. And they also have good reporting slides as well on how you can find numbers available, allocation, usage. So this is a really good tool. So Unify Square is building this functionality into the Power Pro suite. They have lots of experience with global deployments, and they do stuff like assignments, of course, reservations of number you don't want to be used, and tombstoning of numbers, where you can have numbers that you don't want to assign within a specific time frame, 3 months, 6 months. It also classifies numbers for local or cultural requirements. Like in some countries, you shouldn't assign this kind of number range because maybe it's a toll number or it's a number that is very similar to a very public number maybe that you don't want to assign to users. It does integrity checks on all your numbers and deployments to make sure they are in the correct format, that it's now for extensions maybe, for duplicates, checks for that. And check it out, it should be available this summer. And then you have Unimax with their Second Nature software. And what they do this for Link, but they also do it for Cisco, Avaya, Mitel, and other vendors as well. So they can handle number management for more than Link. Because it could be some deployments where you don't just have Link, you're moving over to Link, but still you're going to keep some users or a lot of users on your existing PBX solution. So I tried out their software, and you install it on your management computer, and for Link, it will use remote PowerShell in order to populate the Link settings. So here I have my Link deployment, but you can see here is both Avaya and Unity and Cisco and other solutions as well, which they also can remotely manage. And this makes a more complete information about your deployment, where you can take information from the Avaya solution and add that to the Link users you want to enable. So here you have lots of information. You can define your own series, which is outside of Link. And you can get all the numbers within that number series. So it's quite easy to use and get an overview. But you can do quite complex things using this tool. You can have templates for different users. And here you see all the available numbers for that number series, which is, of course, checked with the Link, what's in Link. So all this information comes from the Link solution. And they check, of course, more than just a user. They will check the meeting room, and they will check Exchange Unified Messaging contacts and so on. So here is an example how you can enable a user with just the next available phone number. So we go into users. You find here a user that is not enabled for enterprise voice. So here is a manual way to do it in terms of enabling the user for enterprise voice, where you can browse for the next available number. And pick the number you want to add. And then also find the next available extension. So here you can do it graphically, but you can also automate this using templates. So I'm not going to go into that because you can do quite much using those templates, like moving users from the PBX to link, or just enabling users for link, just pick from this number series, and so on. So my goal here today was to show you how you can find a tool other than Excel to manage phone numbers in link. So I hope you have seen something you want to use. And my recommendation here is to use PowerShell automation where we can. Use the scripts available and tools available to do this. And if you have multi-vendor deployments, try out Unimax and the Second Nature software. So then I will open for questions or comments. Yes, please step up to the microphone if you can.
So if you're using the unassigned number session portion in Link, if you just put all your numbers in there, will Link know that it's already assigned to a user, or do you have to, like, you know, if you have 200 numbers and you've already assigned, like, you know, portions of it, do we have to, like, specify ranges?
So if you use the unassigned numbers in Link, you can just assign the whole series.
The whole series.
And if you have picked numbers within that series to add to Link users, it will...
It already knows. It knows that it's already assigned, and it.
So unassigned numbers won't affect your assigned numbers.
Okay.
So it's the last thing that gets hit within Link. So if you have a user with a number within that series, the it will go to that user and be routed that way.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Are there other questions or scenarios you have that is interesting? No, crystal clear. Yes.
Where we see a lot of issues, we're doing a US 64 formatted phone number. Headsets are great, but you have Link Phone Edition for common areas. Forcing those users to walk up to a common area phone and doesn't have better together, they have to try to dial Joe sitting in the office next to them or across the office. They don't have a good way to always look up the user on the phone, and so trying to come up with a good solution to do short dialing, a four-digit dial or something along those lines, without letting it get out of hand.
Sure.
Challenge we run into regularly.
Yeah, so the comment was for common area phones, the E164 formatted number may be quite long, and searching for the user may be not that easy. So you can use extensions, of course, but it shouldn't be the norm. Right. So for those common area phones, if that is important to dial internally, use extensions. Yes. Any other questions? Okay, yeah, so you're talking about Link Room System? Yeah, so if Microsoft have the Link Room System tool or the solution from Polycom and Crestron, and you want to build them yourself? So I don't know if it's in the future Link, but the software for the Link Room System software, it's just for OEM, so for Polycom and Crestron. But if it's okay for you to not have that software but use a Link client, you can build, of course, the hardware, find the correct hardware, where you can build a room, but then you need to, the interface will not be link room system, it will be just a link client. So I don't know what's in the roadmap, and maybe Polycom and Crestron will find their own solutions to this, to find some other, maybe better or other tools to do this. So, yeah. Okay. So phone number management within Link. I hope you find some good tools. And it is a more and more important topic as we see companies moving over to centrally managed Link solutions. And don't take this topic too easy. It's something you need to have good routines for. Check out the Garage Live series. Check out the resources on Channel 9. And please complete your evaluations for this session and the sessions you attend. It's really important feedback. And so evaluate using this QR code. And thank you.